Call the House Education Committee to order. Today is the 8th of February and the time is 8:01 a.m. Today we have present for this committee my co-chair, Representative Allard, Representative McKay, Representative Prox, Representative McCormick, Representative Story, Representative Hemschut, and joining us as well is Representative Colombe and myself, co-chair Ruffridge. And so we do have a quorum to conduct business. Today, I would like to introduce Linda with House Records and Jake with the LIO, who's helping us run the meeting today. Just a quick reminder to please silence your cell phones, we will get started. Today, we have in front of us the Alaska Reads Act, an update on that act itself and the implementation. So joining us from the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development, we have Acting Commissioner Teschner, the Director of Innovation and Education Excellence, Susan McKenzie, Director of Admin Services, Sabrina Javier, and the Division's Operations Manager, Deb Riddle. And I guess if there's no points of order from the committee, we can begin. So please come up and begin our presentation. And be careful of your knees underneath. It's getting worked on. I promise.
That's a good thing about being short.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
For the record, Heidi Teschner, Acting Commissioner, Department of Education Early Development. I am going to start us off this morning and then pass it on to Director McKenzie and then Division Operation Manager Deb Riddle, and then answer obviously questions as we go along, but up to you how you want to do this. So just to start, we are, as you stated, going to give an update on the Alaska Reads Act. So just as a reminder to the committee and the public listening, the Alaska Reads Act passed in House Bill 114 last session. It was signed into law on July 15th, 2022, and has an effective date of July 1 of 2023. Since the bill created four new programs in the department, an early education grant program, a department reading program, a district reading and improvement program, and a virtual education consortium. So we're going to talk through each of those with you this morning. And then, but to start, we're just going to go to slide 2. And just as a reminder, our mission, vision, and purpose. Mission is an excellent education for every student every day. Our vision comes right out of Alaska Statute 14.03.015, and we exist to provide information, resources, and leadership to support our mission. Slide 3 is our agenda this morning. So we are going to talk about how the Alaska Reads Act, the alignment of Alaska Reads Act, implementation supports we've done, give an overview of the Alaska Reads Act, and then our Alaska, then we're actually slight order, then regulation review. And then when we get to the subcommittee at 9 o'clock, we'll get into the positions and the funding.
Thank you. And I think subcommittee, you have probably about an hour, 15 hour half, and then subcommittee will be ready to go whenever. There's a lot of slides to get through. So
thank you. And then on slide 4, as a reminder, our Alaska's Education Challenge, our 5 priorities. The Alaska Reads Act is 100% priority number 1 to support all students to read at grade level by the end of 3rd grade. And now I'm going to pass it over to Director McKenzie.
For the record, my name is Susie McKenzie. I'm the Director of Innovation and Education Excellence for the Department of Education and Early Development. Through the chair, the Alaska Reads Act is aligned with Priority 1 of the Alaska Education Challenge. We think about the mission, an excellent education for every student, every day. And in 2016, Alaska Education Challenge was developed with stakeholders across Alaska to provide that excellent education for every student, every day. And Priority 1 of the Alaska Education Challenge, as mentioned by Acting Commissioner Teschner, is the reading proficiency by 3rd grade. Last year, through surveys and stakeholder feedback, the Alaska Strategic Reading Plan was developed to have a focused effort to support districts and provide leadership because that is our purpose at the Alaska Department of Education and Early Development. About the time that the strategic reading plan was developed, and it is a living document, I'll talk a little bit more about that on a future slide, the Alaska Reads Act passed. And so the Alaska Reads Act is aligned with the strategic reading plan, all to provide an excellent education for every student every day by helping students be proficient in reading by third grade. Slide six, please. So a little bit larger view of Alaska's strategic reading plan and showing you that the components of the Alaska Reads Act are embedded into the strategic reading plan and many other components as well. There are six strategies, and this is a living document. In each strategy, there are several components, probably over 50 components. And so this is something that we have been working on since May of last year, implementing and then adding as we see the needs. Slide seven. Now we'll talk a little bit about implementation supports for Alaska Reads Act. Slide eight, please. So on slide eight, you see the Alaska Reads Act webinar schedule. This is available on the Alaska Reads Act webpage on the department website, and it shows the components of the Alaska Reads Act and dates that we are meeting with stakeholders around Alaska. There are slide decks prepared. We've been preparing materials and sharing those, answering questions. And so you can see that we started January 12th. We will continue weekly from 3:15 to 4:15 on Thursdays, and they will run until May 11th. There will also be a series of office hours where there is no agenda, but people can call in and get clarifications and questions answered about the Reads Act. We are also planning a pre-conference session at the Science of Reading Symposium, the second annual symposium, so that we can work with leaders that will be implementing the Reads Act and answering their questions, supporting them in their implementation efforts. Slide nine, please. So I want to give your attention to the right side. We'll talk a little bit more about the resources, those webinars that I spoke of on the previous slide. When you get onto the Reads Act website, on the department website on the Reads Act webpage, there are recordings of each of the webinars. And so for people whose time doesn't allow them the 3:15 to 4:15 time, they have an opportunity to go back, listen to those presentations, view the slides, look at the materials. And then there are also some one-page supports, an FAQ, and we are continuing to develop more resources as we go that would support districts in their implementation of the Reads Act. On the left side, you can see the timeline. We've been working on regulations since August of 22 and actually completed December, January, and those proposed regulations went to the State Board of Education. And we're on January 25th, and we're put out for public comment between February and March. We anticipate the adoption of the regulations April of 2023. And in the meantime, we continue to work on supports for districts. Many meetings with districts individually that have asked for meetings and support for implementation. A school board just had a presentation last night at 9 o'clock for a school board. And so, and we're also planning a trip around Alaska to different places where we present publicly and in person. Slide 10, please. So as far as communication, we have directed folks to send questions and comments to akreads@alaska.gov. And that has been an active way to communicate. Some districts have requested presentations, and that has been an open invitation around the state. We began the reading newsletter in August, and it comes out monthly and also provides updates about where we are with our efforts on the strategic reading plan and also with the implementation of the READS Act. It has grown from about 100 people that are signed up for the weekly newsletter to well over 1,000 in just a few months. And then the READS Act website that I mentioned earlier is another way we've communicated. And then planning those in-person meetings around the state for implementation. So I'll turn now from a little bit of implementation to just an overview of the READS Act. On slide 12, there are four programmatic areas of the READS Act. Pre-K early learning and parents as teachers is one part. Department Reading Program, as Acting Commissioner Teschner mentioned, is another part of the READS Act. District Reading Improvement, and then virtual education. Other requirements would be reporting and data collections to you and from districts to the state, and then educator preparation requirements that are required in the READS Act. On slide 13, I'll give you an overview of each part of those. We'll start with the Department Reading Program. Department Reading Program is a voluntary part of the READS Act. Each fall, through our accountability system, schools are rated. And so this is the Department Reading Program is offered to the 25% lowest performing schools. They would receive notification that that's where they would be ranked. They would be invited to participate. If they chose to participate, they would submit an application. It would be reviewed, and then decisions would be made about our capacity and participation. Schools that are chosen to participate in the Department Reading Program would be connected with a Department Reading Specialist that would help them develop a reading improvement plan specific to their site and their needs. And this would then last for 1 year, and there would be some financial support to help implement the goals of the reading improvement plan. On slide four.
If we can stay on this slide for just 1 second, Representative Hemshute has a question.
Thank you, Chair Ruffridge. Through the chair, when you say the lowest performing 25% of schools, so those schools could be in 25 different districts.
Through the chair, Dr. McKenzie, yes, that is true.
And then if I can continue. So how many reading specialists will you house at Deed then? Will there be 25 reading specialists, or a reading specialist could do more than one school?
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. We currently have plans for 5 department reading specialists that would take on caseloads. We are anticipating that they would each be able to, for the first year as we implement it the first time, take 2 schools. So we would be able to support 10 schools the first year with the goal of supporting more as we move forward.
And I use the number 25, if I may follow up one more time. It's not 25 schools, but 25%. So how many schools would that be?
Through the chair, this record, Heidi Teschner. We have about 500 schools, so I don't care if I can do my math this early in the morning, but 25% of about 500.
But 500 schools in the state.
Correct.
This is targeting elementary. Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. So then I guess my last question is, if schools apply, not districts, if a school chooses not to apply, does it roll to the next? Do you keep working up your bottom list to try to get to as many schools as are willing to apply and are selected, up to the 25%?
Through the chair, Director McKenzie, thank you for that question. Each year, there's a designation. So each year, the lowest 25% are identified. If a district chose not to apply next year, then if they were on that 25%, the following year they would be invited each year to apply.
And you would backfill with a school that did apply. I guess my concern is, through the chair, if a school chooses not to apply and then your spots are not filled, would you reach back out to a school that hadn't applied? Just theoretically, I want to make sure that the resources are fully deployed.
Through the chair, Director McKenzie, I would anticipate, yes, we would. We want to serve as many as we're able to serve.
Thank you.
Representative Prox, then Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Chair. Representative, I guess kind of just through a comment, I was taking down notes, getting ready to ask sort of the same questions, because from talking to school districts, there is, I guess, and I'm interpreting a little bit, there's some concern about being labeled, if you will, as one of the lower performing schools and then not having the resources to do something about it. And I think it is just, this is just getting going and it needs more communication to school districts to straighten it out. But we're not requiring something, we're offering something. And I can see where that confusion and that concern would come up. So just, I think it'll take time, focus on it.
Representative Story, then Representative McKay.
Thank you. Through the chair, thank you, all of you, for being here today. I know how hard you're working for students every day and for our districts. One comment, just with Rep. Prox's comment, and then he'll ask my question, is part of this is voluntary, this part right now, but doing the science of reading that is required for all districts in reading improvement plans. But this section, I was just wanting to be clear about what the assessment is that will designate the 25% of lower performing schools. Is it the STAR assessment? Is it the screener that we are developing that each district will be giving their students?
So for the record, my name is Deb Riddle, a Division Operations Manager for the Innovation and Education Excellence. The accountability system is called the System for School Success, and it's a we create an index value for each school, and that's based on the assessment for ELA and math for Alaska Star. Graduation rate for high schools falls into play. It also looks at the scores for students on the access for ELL, so the English Learner Progress. Attendance also is used as part of the calculation, and for the elementary school proficiency on the third grade Alaska Star, and that those are the components of the accountability system.
Follow up. So that's very similar to what we've been doing, and so pretty much districts right now know whether they're going to be offered the program or not, or schools.
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. Yes, but through the accountability system at that has been used for this, for our schools that fall into the comprehensive support and improvement and targeted support and improvement, those are Title I schools, and this will be for all schools. So it could be slightly different, but some schools would have a good indication of whether they would possibly fall into that category.
Thank you.
Right. And just for the record, before we get to Representative McKay, I want to make note that Representative Galvin has joined us, and also thank Senator Bjorkman and Senator Tobin for being here as well. So, Representative McKay.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman Ruffridge. To the chair, and I just speak quickly, if I'm a principal and my school gets ranked in the low 25%, do you think that it would be realistic for any of those schools to refuse this? It seems to me that that would be very unlikely. Do you have any idea how that's going to go? Who would turn it? Who would, you know, we're here to help you. Why would anybody turn that down? I don't see that happening, but do you see that happening? I know you can't predict the future, but.
Through the chair, you're right. I can't predict the future. There are a lot of factors that play into decisions, capacity, what they have going on already for professional development, and there are parts of the READS Act that are required. And so,
Representative Hemshoot?
I apologize. I will limit my questions. I just have one last quick question through the chair. I was trying to follow the READS Act as it was developed, and it went quite a while, and I lost focus. So at one point, the reading specialists were to be embedded in the communities. But I don't know if that made it into the final bill. So there's nothing in the bill saying that the reading specialists for these 25% of lowest schools would live in the community where the school is located.
Through the chair, Director McKenzie, no, it's not.
Thank you.
All right, other questions? I do have just one. So I wanted to make sure on the number of schools, when you'd mentioned 500 and then trying to figure out what the lowest performing schools are. Obviously, the Reads Act has a component of it that is trying to read by third grade. Are we looking at all schools or just elementary aged schools in this program?
Through the chair, this is for all schools that receive public funding that serve students in grades kindergarten through third grade.
Understood. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So I will turn your attention now to slide 14, district reading intervention. This is a part of the Reads Act that is required. There are four components of this part of the Reads Act. One of the components is that each school or district will submit a response to intervention. It says RTI, that's a response to intervention or multi-tiered systems of support plan to the department to be approved, which is a framework for how a school or district will provide tiered instruction and intervention to students that are at proficiency in reading or they struggle and they need intervention. So it's a plan for that. Another part of the district reading intervention is a literacy screener that each student in grades kindergarten through three would, we would use a literacy screener for those students so that we would have information on whether that student is on grade level and proficient in those skills or whether they have reading deficiencies as described in the Reads Act. Another part of this district reading intervention is the individual reading plan. If a student has identified reading deficiencies, an individual reading improvement plan is developed for that student, which is a plan for how the teacher school will support that student to address those reading deficiencies. And the final part of the district reading intervention is grade progression. And on the spring screener, so using the literacy screener, if a student that has been receiving intervention all year remains deficient in reading for grade level expectations, that initiates a conversation between the school and the parent to share the assessment data, which it is required that they would share that throughout the year. They would be a part of the plan and being put together. They would get resources from the school for how they can support at home. But that would initiate if a student remained deficient in the area of reading. On the spring literacy screener, that would initiate that discussion about what is best for that child to move to the next grade or to have a non-progression and stay in the grade that they're at to get further intervention. Ultimately, the Reads Act says that it is the parent's decision. And then the final part that is made clear in the Reads Act is that all intervention needs to be based on the science of reading.
Questions on this side? Representative Story?
Thank you. Just a few questions through the chair. And I think one thing that's really important to all for all of us to keep in mind is our districts are using RTI and MTSS. This is not new to the districts. They've been working really hard on this. And many of them have been using the science of reading programs. And I know on this committee, was it 2 years ago now, we surveyed all the districts, or DEED surveyed them for us, and we came up with a report about what programs districts were using to help us know if they were using the science of reading program or not. But my question would be, is I think it would be really helpful for myself and everybody on the committee to, again, go over what the science of reading is briefly. And I think it would be helpful if we had, and I have it here, but if everyone had a copy of the bill handy so they could refer to a lot of the requirements that are that are in it. It would, if you could make that available to the committee, I think that would be really helpful. And then my one follow-up question, if I may. So the literary screener is something that the department is still developing.
Do I answer? Sure. Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. The literacy screener is, the department has already adopted a literacy screener to use for this next fall. We are piloting it with a number of schools, quite a large number, that it was in, they were invited to participate in a pilot, and many more than we anticipated are piloting that literacy screener. It is M-Class by Amplify. They use DIVL's 8 for the screener. It takes about 5 to 7 minutes to administer. The progress monitoring takes 1 to 2 minutes. So once a student is, the literacy screener is completed, if there's reading deficiencies and an intervention plan is put into place, there would be regular checks to see if what the teacher is intervening with is working. And so those are called progress monitoring assessments, and they take 1 to 2 minutes just to see. It's a quick check. The science of reading, just to answer, I believe, that question, is a body of research over the last 50 years and involves a lot of studies. And most people think of the science of reading as 5 big areas, but it's actually bigger. So the response to intervention plan, multi-tiered system of support plan that Representative Story mentioned is based on evidence in the science of reading as an effective framework, and that is in the READS Act. But there is also evidence that teaching phonemic awareness, teaching, which is hearing sounds and words, teaching phonics, which is attaching those sounds to the print and knowing how to sound out words, fluency, so accuracy and the speed at which we read affects our comprehension, so working on the fluency piece, vocabulary, knowing what the words mean, just having a good bank of vocabulary, and then comprehension. And all of the earlier skills help support comprehension. And so sometimes it appears a student in an older grade might struggle with comprehension when really they might need phonemic awareness or phonics because they're working so hard to read print that they're not focused on what the meaning is. So the science of reading is a huge body of work that tells us best practice in reading.
Other questions? I just do have one. So in the pilot programs that were run with the literacy screener, how many students were identified as potential reading deficiency individuals?
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. We aren't finished with that. They're just finishing and getting feedback from what went well, what do we need to work on, and gathering that information. So that started late January, and so we are still working on that.
And then the individual reading plan, is this something, so obviously this is happening at the district level, but I would assume that that is going to be these children's teachers that is developing that plan, or is there a specific person at district level who will be responsible for adopting the plan?
Through the chair, as Director McKenzie, the READS Act does state that the parents need to be part of putting that plan together, the principal, a reading specialist if the district has one, the teacher. So it would be a team of people that would provide the development of that plan. And implementing that plan would be up to the school. It could be a paraprofessional under the direction of a teacher. It could be the teacher. It could be a reading specialist. So different tiers and different folks within the school environment would deliver that plan.
So it would be very different by district potentially on how that was implemented.
Through the chair.
Depending on resources.
Possibly.
Okay. Representative Hemshute.
I apologize. I I could ask this question at any point in the presentation, but I guess my underlying question is, how many mandates have been added to districts? Is there, like, we have to make this plan, we have to, we now have to do the reading thing. Not that they aren't good requirements, but how many new mandates have been added to districts?
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. The proposed regulations will be adopted in April, and this is enacted in July. So through the proposal and the law, this is the required programmatic piece of the READS Act. As stated earlier, the response to intervention and multi-tiered system of support is a framework that on a survey given last year was noted that almost every district said that they employed. Through discussions with districts, some of them are stating they need to refresh. So the department has an initiative for supporting them through that refreshing. Most districts had a literacy screener in place. The requirement of the READS Act is a literacy screener that's aligned to the science of reading. So there might be some. So there are some mandates, but you are correct in stating that some of these are in place. So besides the district reading intervention, there are some educator requirements for professional development as stated in the READS Act, and I will address those in later slides.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Story.
Thank you. Through the chair, we have been assessing kids, and because, of course, we all want them to be reading, so districts have been working on this, and based on our scores before with the STAR assessment, we have an idea of how many kids are not going to be proficient in reading. If you could share how many currently now are in K through 3 are not proficient in reading, kind of a ballpark, it gives us an idea of the committee, how many reading improvement plans, how many students will need reading improvement plans. So I would appreciate if you could make that estimate, please.
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. Unfortunately, we do not have that data because until the READS Act is enacted, we haven't had literacy screeners required, and that data has not been shared with the state. The only data we have at this moment is the third grade summative assessment through AK STAR, and that data, trying to remember,
was through the chair, Commissioner Teschner. It's about 80% of our students are not proficient based on the AK STAR assessment results.
Thank you.
And just to help me out, 80% is approximately how many students in third grade?
Chair Ruffridge, there are approximately 10,000 students per cohort. So about 10,000 students, probably a little bit less. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, but could follow up with the exact number with the committee, but it's about 10,000.
8,000 third graders are not proficient in reading.
Correct.
And I just want to state for the record that we are joined by Representative Ortiz. Thank you for being here. All right. Any further questions on slide 14? Seeing none, let's continue.
So as we look at slide 15, because this is a required piece of the READS Act, we are implementing several supports to districts because this is the first part that they will have to implement. We are doing some focused webinars and in-person support to help them write their K-3 multi-tiered system of support plan and provide that support to them. We are having question and answer work sessions with step-by-step directions and developing one-page documents for a checklist so that they just to, as a support to districts as they develop these plans, and then a step-by-step guide. Also, once those plans are submitted, we anticipate this first year it will be a journey, but there will be some fine-tuning that needs to occur with plans, and so we are planning next year to provide webinars based on areas that are patterns of that they would need some support on with those plans. And so next year we'll provide a series of webinars that will support them in making sure that their K-3 multi-tier system of support plan is strong and based on the science of reading. Mm-hmm. Slide 16.
Can I just ask a quick question? And it's not, I'm sorry, some of the numbers are now just sinking in for me. So we have 5 specialists planned in this first year. We're going to look at the poorest performing 25% of schools, but there's 8,000 students potentially that might need intervention. Somehow that's not building a web. It doesn't feel like to catch or help all the students. Am I wrong in that assessment? And if so, what am I missing?
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. The requirements of the READS Act and the support through the READS Act is multifaceted. So the department reading program, the 25% that you referred to, is voluntary, and that's an intensive school improvement program that lasts for 1 year with a school that chooses to participate. The district reading intervention is another facet of the READS Act, and it is for everyone. Putting those systems in place, making sure that the materials are based on the science of reading, and that we are using best practice in group size, in duration and length of how often we intervene, and that would be a system that is for all schools that would affect those 8,000 students you referred to. In addition, I will get to on later slides some educator professional development that is required by the READS Act and what we're proposing through regulation, which would be another support for those students. So the answer is that it's multifaceted within the.
Okay, thank you. That really does help. I guess I was more focused on the fact that the reading specialists and the 25% of schools for the school improvement plan came with, it sounded like, some special grant funds or something to pay for this improvement, and that potentially the district level version where the students actually are is just, I think as Representative Himshute said, essentially a mandate without anything else attached to it. Just please do this and find out a way to do that. There's no grant funds to help with that. The department obviously has programs, webinars, and ways to help, but there's not anything built into that to help a district and help a student or pay for that student to do any of this stuff.
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. The framework, the response to intervention and multi-tiered system of support framework, supporting each individual students with their needs and the intervention that they need is best practice. And so that is a framework that is just best practice, and the READS Act calls out that needs to be in place. As far as supporting districts, the strategic reading plan includes a response to intervention multi-tiered system of support refresh, which is a multi-year project. We have about I believe 15 districts that are participating in that and looking at their systems so that they can enhance that. Another large project through the strategic reading plan that supports the READS Act is an English language arts adoption that was voluntary for districts to participate in if they were at a place that they needed to replace their Tier 1, their core curriculum for reading instruction at the elementary level, so that it is aligned to the science of reading and our Alaska state standards. And we have many schools that are participating in that, and that will be ready to implement next year. So a long answer to say there is best practice, and then there are supports that we are providing to help districts with the READS Act implementation.
Thank you. Anything else, Representative Story?
Thank you. Through the chair, that is very true what you're saying for supports. I think it's also important to note, and we'll see this more when the bill is in front of us, but with the reading improvement plan, of course, it'll be possibly those 8,000 third graders, but then there'll be second graders and first graders and kindergartners and those teachers. will be doing reading improvement plans, and also the district will. And in the plan, it calls for at some point 20 hours of after school work. It districts can, based on their resources, do school after school Saturdays. There's lots of intervention suggestions that can be in the reading improvement plan, and that it costs resources to do that. So it very much, the districts are short on resources to implement these plans, even though some of them they are doing it, but some of what the calls for in the plan. I know there was a $30 per student increase that came along with the Alaska Reads Act, and I'm sure the thought was that those funds might be a help in this arena. I know that's $240,000 for the Juneau School District, the $30 per student, but when Florida passed the Alaska Reads Act, they did about $500 per student to help with reading improvement plans. I think Colorado was about $800 per student. And so other states have put more resources into helping districts be able to do this part of the plan.
Thank you, Representative Storey. Do you have a question?
Is it
Representative McCormick?
Thank you, through the chair. This is kind of just a question about the implementation process. I also want the record to reflect I'm a product of the Lower Kuskokwim School District. Go Warriors. I guess just my question was, so I come from a region that is not on the road system. We also have significant challenges with broadband and internet service. So I was just curious if you could speak to what the plan was for support for communities like myself that you can't drive to and potentially can't even do webinars with.
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie, specific schools within the district that you're referring to, I don't have information to answer that specifically, but I will mention that when we assess students with the AK Star, that is an online system and all students are assessed. And so I would have to find out specific information for you, but I do know that that is delivered through virtual.
Thank you, Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, through the chair. And I apologize if I missed the opportunity to have this explained. You already explained this, my question earlier. I apologize for that if I missed that. But on the idea of the plan, the reading plan for improvement for the people who test that they are screened, that they need such a plan, is that only for third grade level or is that for second going all the way down to kindergarten?
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. That would be for any student in grades K-3 that have reading deficiencies identified by the literacy screener.
Follow-up. So just to be clear, a reading plan for improvement would be required for all the students K through 3 that show that through their screening that they need such a plan. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Director McKenzie, yes.
And final follow-up. So then the term, I think I heard the figure 3,000 or something like that. What's the estimated amount of people that could perhaps need such a plan if 25% of people, students, show that they do need a plan? How many students are we talking about?
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. There are approximately 10,000 students per grade level, rough estimate. We do not have data that would tell us for kindergarten, first, and second, the number of students. So I can't provide that exact number, but we know that at third grade, 80% of our students are not proficient, and that typically that assessment is based on their first kindergarten, first, second grade, and third grade experience, the results of that assessment.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Appreciate it.
All right, moving along.
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. I'll now turn it over to Deb Riddle.
Hi. For the record, Deb Riddle, Division Operations Manager for the Division of Innovation and Education Excellence. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Early Education and the Parents as Teachers program. This is also a voluntary program, and there are three parts to this. The purpose of this is to help districts either build or improve early learning programs within their school districts. So how this is, how the bill lines this out is that there are going to be a series of grants. There's going to be a grant available to the it is going to be based on the System for School Success. As I can put my glasses on, sorry. It's going to be given to the lowest, priority will be given to the lowest performing schools based on that, those index values that those schools receive. They're going to be a series of three-year grants. There will be $3 million a year available for that. Districts will apply in the spring, this spring, to start their programs starting in July 1. This is going to be for children in ages 4 and 5, so districts who have 4 and 5-year-old students will be eligible to apply for a grant for those lowest performing schools. Part of the requirements is that the potential grantees will need to consult with their local child care providers, early education programs within the area to make sure that there are an insufficient number of programs available to support the students in the area. And that'll be a part of their application process. The goal of the grant is to help the districts reach the standards that have been developed, the early education program standards that have been developed through stakeholder engagement. The bill requires that these standards be based on, and we modified a little bit from the Head Start program performance standards, and that they go into like the learning environment, social emotional, whole child type activities, but we will have an early learning education specialist, so a reading specialist for those early learning programs who will be able to support with the literacy efforts for those districts with the early learning programs. These three-year grants will provide support to these districts in order to build up these programs. However, if after 3 years they don't meet the requirements of the standards, they can extend that for one more year. And if they're still struggling after that one more year, it'll be up to the department. We may be able to offer an additional year to help those districts reach the standards, the level of the standards that have been developed. So the third part of the program, we have the grants, we have the standards, and the third part is for the 0.5 ADM for qualifying districts. So it doesn't so how this will work is that the Department Innovation and Education Excellence has set the standards, and they will do the screening. And so as districts apply for this 0.5 ADM, the department will look at how they are meeting each of the standards that were developed. If they are meeting those standards, then that district will be able to note those students on their follow ACES numbers for 0.5 ADM, and then that's where the Division of Finance and Support Services will work on any kind of calculations that need to be made at that point. The fourth part is the Parents as Teachers. So the Parents as Teachers program is a partnership between the Department of Education and the Department of Health. We will continue to support the Department of Health with their work with students birth through grade age 5, going into the homes and working with the parents with a variety of educational and health-related services for them to get the students ready for kindergarten. So we'll continue to support that financially, as well as some of the reporting requirements that are outlined in the Act. We'll be reporting that in as directed by the Act.
I just have a quick question if anybody else wants to go first on this slide. Seeing none. So the early education programs, those grants, going back a couple of slides, those are only to the 25% lowest performing districts, these voluntary grant programs?
So this, through the chair, This is Deb Riddle. These grants are for any district who wants to implement a pre-K program, but priority will be given to those districts who are in the lower have a lower index score on their system for school success, the accountability system.
Thank you. Representative Story.
Yes. Thank you. Through the chair, my memory, and I know we're going to be going into the finances of it, but I believe we appropriated $3 million, and so we would fund up to $3 million. And then, but this group, the legislature as a whole, could fund more money towards pre-K if we wanted to, especially if we see more districts have really, and I think they have, do have early learning programs where they are using quality early learning standards that the department has yet to finalize. And so we really do have an opportunity to get more of our kids ready for kindergarten. And I think when I always try and step back with this because it's pretty intensive for everyone. But when you look at the other states who are doing really well in reading, they have a really strong early learning component, and they have funded early learning for most of their 4-year-olds in the state, and it's typically full day early learning. And so when you look at indicators of states who are their kids are reading on grade level, they have really strong early learning programs, and most of their students have that opportunity in the state. So we have an opportunity to fund it more if we choose.
Thank you, Representative Story. Co-Chair Allard.
Thank you. So I just like to bring up a point. We have a lot of slides to get through. I appreciate your knowledge, but if we don't have specific questions, you think we can move it quicker? Sorry. Thank you.
Any further questions? Hearing none. Next slide.
Through the chair, this is Deb Riddle. The next section is the Virtual Education Consortium. This is a section of the act that will be implemented a little bit later, so July of 2024. And during the time that we are before the implementation, the department is working to create an oversight committee, and that's going to be called the Alaska Virtual Consortium Oversight Committee. And this committee, as well as some of the department staff, will work to form a consortium between districts and the department in order to offer professional development and courses for students on a virtual platform. The oversight committee will be looking at materials, it'll be looking at strategies, it'll be looking at what the requirements are for a quality course, and directing kind of the department as to where we should go and what should be offered. It's a 10-member committee that's going to be governed by some bylaws. Those are also going to be available for public comment once they're presented to the board. The consortium will be reviewed by the State Board of Education every 3 years to see that the progress and evaluate how it's working. The requirements or the duties of the committee are going to include creating rubrics as to what the resources would look like, creating guidelines as to what teacher qualifications should be, and then approving courses that should be included in the virtual platform. There'll also be a database that has all the approved courses and content that will be available to districts to utilize for both their students and educators. And this database will be growing. It'll start off small and it'll get larger as time goes on.
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. We'll now discuss the educator qualifications that are requirements in the READS Act. So the READS Act requires that there be training, coursework, or testing in phonemic awareness, phonics, vocabulary development, reading fluency, oral language, and reading comprehension, and that the training would be approved by the State Board of Education and regulation. There are three requirements. They fall in the categories on slide 20 of early education, so the lead teacher in a pre-K program, K-3 educators, and through regulations that are proposed, we have that defined as teachers in kindergarten through third grade and administrators that administrate a kindergarten and third grade setting. And then also a district reading teacher is a requirement in the READS Act. On slide 21, we'll start. We propose that we will add endorsements to their certification. This would be a quick and easy way for a district to see that a teacher or administrator had met the requirements of the READS Act. It would also be a way for the department to indicate whether a teacher or administrator had met those same requirements. So what has been proposed is verified early educator lead, a READS Act verified K-3 teacher, a READS Act verified K-3 administrator, and a READS Act verified reading teacher as endorsements that would be on a license or certificate. On slide 22.
Representative Prox has a question.
Thank you. Through the chair, quick question. You said a certified educator, a certified teacher per district.
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. To clarify, a teacher that teaches kindergarten, first, second, or third grade.
Right.
Any teacher that teaches that.
Oh, every teacher within the district. Okay, very good. Thank you.
Yes.
Representative Story.
Yes, through the chair. Who pays for that endorsement?
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. The department is working on using some COVID funds to provide some of that professional development, but there may be some teachers or administrators that would need to pay for this training. And it would be, the READS Act does state that it would be used towards recertification or movement on a salary scale as other courses would.
Follow up? So that would be through the university or through early childhood courses through the university in reading?
Through the chair, we are setting up a rubric and a process for the approval of the courses and don't have a complete list. It could occur through a university.
Thank you.
Continue.
So looking at K-3 educators first, there would be an endorsement on slide 23, an endorsement for READS Act verified K-3 teacher or K-3 administrator. It would be phased in over the next 2 years. The requirements for the endorsement are a valid teaching certificate or administrative certificate, and then a successful completion of a 3-semester hour or equivalent evidence-based reading training course that includes the requirements of the READS Act as noted on a previous slide, approved by the department that includes a summative assessment to demonstrate proficiency of the material taught within the course, or evidence of obtaining a passing score on a department-approved assessment. On slide 24,
Thank you, through the chair. I know we've had trouble hiring teachers, but I am wondering when we're looking for teachers, is it common to come with this reading endorsement, or are we having a hard time finding teachers? And then is it allowed, phased in over the next 2 years, that the district can hire the person without the early childhood hours in reading, or without the required professional development, like how we do emergency certifications all the time for teachers, and they can get that within the 2 years?
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. We anticipate this will be phased in over the next 2 years. The department began offering courses that are aligned with the requirements of the READS Act last year. Some teachers have taken advantage of that. We are currently offering some for administrators and teachers that are aligned with the requirements until the regulations are adopted, you know, that it's aligned. And the READS Act does not require a reading endorsement, which is a series of courses through a university. It requires training or assessment to prove proficiency. So this would be a 3-credit or equivalent class.
One more follow-up.
Of course.
So if the current teachers do not have this, they're all planning to get it now or need to get it, and if they don't have it within 2 years, then they will not be allowed to teach K through third?
Through the chair, that is correct.
Further questions on this side? I had one. So this certification, this was not, I just want to make sure I understood this was not part of the READS Act, so this is not statutory, this is a proposed regulation from the department for this endorsement?
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. The endorsement, the process, is through regulation. The requirement of the coursework is in the READS Act.
I guess I am curious as to why there is a need for this. And maybe obviously this is in statute, this educational need. Me personally, I would have had the assumption that teachers in K through 3 would have had some of these experiences already. Is there a possibility through just the education of a teacher, so college education, that some of these credit hours will be obtained and they come out of school endorsed? Or are we going to require over the next 2 years every K through 3 teacher in the state of Alaska to go back and take these 6-credit hours to get endorsed? Are there people that could be endorsed already, I guess, is my question.
Through the chair, we don't have exact data on that. As I stated before, some educators have taken courses that are aligned with the requirements of the READS Act requirements. To clarify, it is a 3-credit course and or an assessment that demonstrates proficiency. Based on feedback from teachers through the symposium last year and also through meetings this year, that there has been conversation about demonstrating proficiency through an assessment if they had taken courses or the choice of taking a 3-credit course to meet those requirements, knowing that we have teachers being trained in this in-state and out-of-state through many universities, it is impossible to know whether the training would include science of reading-based training.
Okay, thank you. And I do see there is a slide on that proposed assessment, correct, for teachers?
Yes.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Yes.
Okay, seeing no further questions, please continue. Thank you.
So I apologize, we skipped a slide in our excitement. We're going back to slide 22, and that is the early education requirement in the READS Act. So there's 2 years to complete. The lead teacher of a pre-K program would need a valid teaching certificate and training or experience. So for the lead teacher, it's 6-credit hours in early education or 2 or more years of experience teaching kindergarten or an early education program and successful completion of an evidence-based reading training course, as I mentioned in the K-3, the same up to the equivalent of a 3-credit course that covers the requirements of the READS Act and includes an assessment to demonstrate proficiency of the skills taught. So those would be the two choices of the training for a lead teacher. Skipping
it. Representative Crox has a question. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, I think this gets back to my first question. And I was thinking of the early educator lead, but the in a small school district, and we have some that are very small, the educator lead is going to be the same person that is doing the teaching, as opposed to in larger districts, there could be an educator lead, at least in a large school. Some of the elementary schools might have three or four classes for, well, more than that, for K through three grades. Cost per student is going to be much higher in the rural districts. I don't know that we've thought this through. There's going to be some implementation problems I'm concerned about. We'll have to think about that later.
Through the chair, I realize that's not a question, but I want to clarify this early education is for the pre-K programs. And then the K-3 would be for kindergarten, first, second.
Right. Either way, the economies of scale have to be taken into consideration, I'm thinking. Sometime we'll get together. Yep.
Moving ahead to slide 24. Apologize for skipping around. Trying to be cognizant of time. Slide 24, the last requirement for educator training in the READS Act is the district reading teacher. And so this endorsement would be a READS Act verified reading teacher, different than a reading specialist. A traditional reading specialist has a reading endorsement from a university. So the READS Act requires a district reading teacher. And the requirements, as noted in the READS Act, are a valid teaching certificate, that successful completion of that up to the 3 semester credit hour or equivalent course that I have talked about on the previous slides with the assessment, or the passing a score on an assessment, the same requirements for the K-3 teacher, and submission of a reading instruction efficiency evaluation form, long word, certified by a district representative. So verification from a district representative that that teacher has had success in intervention efforts in the area of reading with students, as noted in the requirements of the READS Act. Slide 25 goes over the proposed examinations that a teacher or administrator could take and pass to demonstrate proficiency in the science of reading as called out by the READS Act. So there are 4 choices there. The required scores by the publisher are also noted. On slide 26, just to review in regulation, what is proposed, the evidence-based reading training course would cover the components that I talked about, phonemic awareness, phonics, vocabulary, fluency, oral language, and comprehension. It would be 3 semester hours or the equivalent, would include a summative assessment to demonstrate proficiency, and it would be approved by the Department of Education and Early Development. And currently, because the regulations have not been adopted, we don't have a list, but we understand the requirements of the READS Act. And I will turn it over to Acting Commissioner Teschner.
And for the record, Commissioner Teschner, so the last slide for the House Education Committee presentation on the READS Act is just to kind of let you know that the formal written public comment period for our regulations is out there. It went live last Thursday, February 2nd, and it closes March 3rd at 4:30 p.m. We anticipate the board that will adopt the regulations at their April 19th, 2023 meeting. And from between the time when public comment closes and that April meeting, we will review all public comment, incorporate that into the final adopted version that will the board, like I said, will participate adopting on April 19th. We are providing a link to the online public notice to that to those regulations. And part of the regulations, we've included a four-page summary document that kind of chunks the regulations down into more layperson's terms. So instead of reading the legal document, you can refer to the summary document to get a more snapshot of what the regs are proposing. And that concludes our portion for the House Education Committee.
Well, thank you. I'm sure we'll take some questions, Representative McKay.
Thank you, through the chair, Chairman Ruffridge. I just have a couple questions that I just want to get on the record. I represent District 15, which is South Anchorage. The Anchorage School District is by far the biggest district in the state. I don't know exactly how many elementary schools are in the Anchorage School District. I'm guessing 30 or 40. Maybe Rep. Allard might know, but I wonder how many of those are in that 25% non-performing group. And then secondly, I'm trying to get my head around, when did we determine the 25% or 80% of our kids are not proficient in reading, which I personally find to be quite shocking. Was that pre-COVID, during COVID, or after COVID? You know, when did we measure that? And is there any correlation with the kids being locked out of the schools so we couldn't have in-person instruction? Did that have a cause? Did that cause some of this? 80% of our kids can't read very well. I'd like to have some of those answers at some point in time. Thank you very much.
Through the chair, this is Director McKenzie. We will gather the information about the schools in Anchorage. We don't have that available right now. As for the question around COVID and performance, there has been a pattern of non-proficiency for a number of years. This is not a new pattern.
Other questions? All right, seeing none. Well, I would like to thank you guys, Commissioner Teschner and Director McKenzie, yes, and Riddle, that's right, okay. Deb Riddle, and for that presentation, it's certainly a very significant piece of legislation. You know, it's a little bit of information to absorb. So I'm sure many of the members of the committee will continue to have questions. And thank you guys for being here today to answer those questions. And it sounds like we'll be working a lot together going forward on these things. So thank you again for that. And we will, if there is no other business for this part of the committee, we will adjourn at 9:15 and hang out for a second and wait to start the subcommittee.